93.5 The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keys in Washington. Weather woes for millions in the nation as people suffer more extreme heat. Some areas, such as southern Arizona, are under excessive heat warnings. The Weather Channel's Kelly Cass.
Another dangerously hot day for many folks across the southern tier in the southwest. The heat and the humidity leading to storms in other parts of the country, especially through the high plains and leading into parts of the mid-south. You've got Little Rock and Memphis in that.
The wicked weather is causing worries over the energy grid in Texas, which has been dealing with some of the hottest temperatures for a long time this year. Emily Foxhall is the energy reporter at the Texas Tribune.
Having a mix of energy on the grid is also really important because solar, of course, can't run overnight when the sun has set and the wind power isn't always running if the wind's not blowing. So people have also looked at how that overall resource mix has really helped.
Russia is calling President Biden's plan to provide Ukraine with cluster bombs an act of desperation. CBS's Charlie Daggett explains why the weapon is controversial.
It's a weapon that breaks up midair as it approaches its target, ejecting a number of smaller explosives or bomblets scattering indiscriminately across an area that can stretch to the size of several football fields. Most of those explosives detonate, but not all, posing a threat to the civilian population long after the war has ended, especially children.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen talking climate change, among other issues, during her visit to China.
There is a pressing need for the two largest economies to closely communicate and exchange views on our responses to various challenges.
China and South Korea are worried about a planned release by Japan of more than 1 million metric tons of treated radioactive water collected at the Fukushima nuclear plant. It was damaged in a 2011 tsunami. The BBC's Michael Bristow.
Opinion polls suggest the majority of people, 4 out of 5, are opposed to release of water. Despite that, scientists say it's safe, and the International Atomic Energy Agency chief, Rafael Grossi, is in the South Korean capital today. He's talking to officials, nuclear safety experts, trying to persuade them and people here that it is safe to release this water.
Not everyone thinks Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten should be paroled from her life sentence for murder. Some relatives of the Manson family victims are very upset. California's governor has dropped his battle to keep her in jail, and Van Houten could be freed within 2 weeks after spending 53 years in prison. A state appeals court ruled in May she should be freed. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
When you have trouble sleeping,
for Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new vaccine aims to lower the severity of a respiratory infection known as RSV this winter, Mark Moran reports.
For most people, RSV is a mild respiratory infection, but for at-risk babies and seniors, it can be much more dangerous. RSV is a leading cause of hospitalization for infants in the U.S. It is estimated to cause around 10,000 deaths annually in Americans aged 65 and older. Flu and COVID now have safe and effective vaccines, but until now, RSV did not. Dr. Patricia Winokur at the University of Iowa led a vaccine trial and found it helpful at both ends of the age spectrum, but also for pregnant women and their babies.
And what they found is they could prevent disease in the babies for 90% of the time for 3 months. And then if you followed them for 6 months, they were about 80% protected.
RSV causes severe infections in young children. Most of the time, those infections aren't serious, but children born prematurely, with a low birth weight, or who have underlying health issues, run an increased risk of developing severe disease. This clinical trial was conducted among 37,000 adults aged 60 and older nationwide. Winokur says many of those who participated in the clinical trial had a few reasons for doing so.
They thought this was a really important way that they could protect themselves because they might be getting RSV from their grandkids, but also protect their grandkids.
Regulators will now study the best way to make the RSV vaccine available nationwide. I'm Mark Moran.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine. Listen, we've got a jam-packed three-hour show lined up for you this morning, and we've got a lot of work to do. Let's get busy. I want to welcome my first guest, attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She's a Texas immigration attorney. She's the owner, CEO of Lincoln Goldfinch Law, a co-host of Law Moms Out Loud, and so many other different entities that she's involved in. But I really think it's important that we have this conversation. We're going to be talking about the tragic event that occurred several days ago, where 39 migrants died in a horrific fire, where migrants, when they found out that they were going to wind up being returned to Ecuador, Guatemala, and many South American, Central and South American nations, Guatemala, Honduras, Venezuela, and El Salvador. And these people made this trek. 38 men apparently were killed as many of the migrants line their mattresses up against the jail cell, thinking that, I guess, once they set these things ablaze, they would be let out. But it's a horrific, horrific story, and at the root of all of it is a failed immigration policy in this nation for decades now that must be corrected. And with that backdrop, I want to welcome attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch to the airways. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I am. I'm happy to be here having this conversation with you. I think it's a important one, and the tragedy yesterday really highlights what's going on down there in the chaos at the southern border. And I'm glad to be talking about it and sharing the backdrop.
So let me ask you: you're an immigration attorney. You know that there clearly are a lot of people in this nation who think that what's going on at the border is the most important situation in this country, the most important topic, never mind other issues, that the fact that there are so many people flooding into the border trying to get into our nation, and that those people, I think sometimes, Attorney Goldfinch, We don't think that those are people. We don't treat them in a manner. You say what to that?
You know, I've studied our history, our immigration history in the United States, and thinking about where we are today. We're definitely in a period of anti-immigrant sentiment, and people are being manipulated by politicians, conservative lawmakers who know that fear is an excellent motivator for an electoral base. And so all they have to do is say the word, you know, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and connect that to migrants. And it gets people really worked up and freaked out. And so that is a period of time that we are in right now. But I think it's really enlightening to look at the arc of history. And we've had the same anti-immigrant sentiment go on over the years. But it used to be, when in the 1700s, when everybody, 90% of the immigrants to the United States at that point, I'm talking about people who chose to immigrate.
Yeah.
I'm excluding native populations.
European.
Enslaved. Exactly. They were 90% were white, Protestant, English-speaking immigrants. And so then it was, you know, it was Irish Catholics. And then in the 1800s, German, Italian, Jewish people, Chinese people. And what's interesting is that if you study the political cartoons and the rhetoric of those eras, it is exactly the same as what is being said today about migrants along the southern border. So it's really like it really opens your eyes when you see just how repeat all of this is. It's just a new marginalized population today.
You know, you studied this, and many of us have not, but people don't understand that the reason that people are fleeing from Central and South America because of the political chicanery that has gone on and continues to go on. And people in this nation aren't aware that at the root of a lot of it is our government and interfering in the politics that go on there.
Yeah, for sure. If you look back in the last 40 years, our involvement in political stuff in South and Central America has really destabilized the region. So I've been doing immigration law for about 15 years now, and I've seen a rise in migrants from Central America, the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua. And a lot of what's happening, there's some political stuff going on for sure, but also what's happening is there has been a rise in gang violence
right.
in that region. And the most vulnerable people to gang violence in Central America are the children and adolescents. You know, young boys are expected to join gangs. There's conscription going on. Young girls are expected to just become, you know, the property of gang members. And if a family resists, then they might all be killed. And so what started happening was in the middle, you know, around probably 2009 to 2015, we started to see not really a rise necessarily in asylum seekers at the southern border, but a shift in the type of asylum seekers. So we went from mostly adult men coming to the border to women and children and families. And those populations obviously have very different needs. And that was sort of the start of all of this rhetoric about, you know, surging at the border, flooding at the border, et cetera, which I think is... it's inaccurate. It's certainly exaggerated. But there's so much we can talk about. I'm glad we have some time because really, I mean, when we look at the sort of, there's the discussion to have about why do we even offer asylum? Where did that come from? What's the principle of this nation behind all of that? But then secondarily, like from a bigger picture perspective, do we want and need more immigrants in the United States right now?
Yes,
but like, let's have that conversation, you know?
You know, you hear, I've heard, you know, conservative, you know, politricksters and commentators say, well, Democrats want those people to come here because they know they're going to vote Democrat. Well, that's not why the people are coming. The people aren't risking their lives to and taking the only clothes on their back and traveling through deserts because they want to come and vote Democrat. And yet there are people who actually believe that.
You know, some of the things that people are convinced of really boggle the mind, and I'm curious about it. You know, I mean, of course, if I'm honest, I'm judgmental about it too, but I'm curious how people can be convinced of these things. But, you know, from that, just that particular question, that are they coming here to vote? I mean, just from a practical perspective, an asylum seeker going through the process of asylum in the United States, that person is not going to be eligible to vote for probably 10 years plus if everything goes exactly right in their case. It is such a long pathway to citizenship through asylum that there's really, I'm certain that there is no motivation to gather more voters from the migrant populations. And I would also venture to say, I doubt that any Democratic politicians are saying we want more migrants. Nobody is saying that. But what we are saying is, look, the United States made a promise. First of all, we're a nation of refugees. But, you know, even setting that aside, the reason we started thinking about asylum, offering protection to refugees legally, was after World War II, when there was an international reckoning due to the failure of protecting Jewish refugees in the Holocaust, including in the United States. We were terrible. We turned away a ship of Jewish refugees, the USS St. Louis, I think it was, that had 900 people on it. We sent them back to Europe. At the end of World War II, there were international treaties. There was a discussion about what is the definition of a refugee, someone who's fleeing persecution based upon a protected ground, which is their race, their religion, their nationality, their political opinion, or their membership in a particular social group. So it's this really defined thing. And then we started building it into our laws and codifying it. And we've had that in place now for 70 years plus, and we've had the system of processing migrants and refugees. And it's a case-by-case determination. We never say everybody in Nicaragua qualifies for asylum, because that's just not how the law works. It's a very individualized determination. But all of that broke down during the Trump administration. It was ripped to shreds, totally destroyed. And now here we are 3 years later with chaos at the border because we haven't had a system in place for screening and processing asylum seekers. And I think all we need to do really is return to that system. Now, I'm not saying it won't be messy to get there because we have a 3-year backlog essentially at this point. But like, we are the United States of America. We have committed to doing this. This is what we stand for. And we are definitely capable of this. If we can't figure this problem out, well, then we got bigger problems than that, you know?
Look, I am so glad to have you on the air, especially at a time such as this, where those people all died, and some tragic things about how they died and what happened. So we're going to go at it. Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, she's a Texas immigration attorney, owner, CEO of Lincoln Goldfinch Law, co-host Law Moms Out Loud, and others. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin DeVos and Devin Lemmyhew, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, and she's a Texas immigration attorney. You know, Ms. Goldfinch, it is when we, and it's so good to have you on the air because the misconceptions and lies that are wrapped around the whole immigration issue and bigotry and all of those things. You mentioned earlier that our nation needs these immigrants. There's no question whatsoever. You constantly hear people talking about the fact that all these companies, there aren't enough people to work the jobs. People are lazy. They don't want to work the jobs. The kinds of jobs that are needed to be worked in the service industry, which is heavily laden with where most of the jobs are now, don't pay a lot of money, and there aren't a whole lot of Americans lined up to do those jobs. Why is it that you constantly hear people, well, they're bringing fentanyl into the country? The gang, I forgot the name of the gang that they were saying was going to come here and do all kind of damage. You know, to say that these people are coming here to commit crimes is definitely untrue. We've got enough, you know, born and bred Americans that commit enough crimes ourselves than to laden people who are coming here to do what many of these people are coming here to do. Find a better life and a better opportunity, and they'll take anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking about this, there's lots of different ways to approach it. There's data, there's statistics that definitely show that immigrants and migrants commit crime at a much, much lower rate than natural-born citizens, and that, you know, 95% of migrants who are placed into the asylum system and have court hearings to attend, that they show up for their hearings. They don't abscond. So there's data about that, and then I can share with you my anecdotal experience as an immigration lawyer in Texas. I've been working with migrants now for 15 years. It's a focus of my practice. So I've worked with thousands of migrants from around the globe, most of them asylum seekers. And what I can tell you from my personal experience is that these are people, number one, certainly are not criminals themselves. They're fleeing criminal organizations. They're fleeing danger and violence because really the drug traffickers, the cartels, et cetera, those guys, I'm going to say guys, they're doing just fine where they are. They're right. Not looking to immigrate to the United States. So the migrants are the ones who are fleeing violence, and they're telling the truth. And the other thing is that I think we need to keep in mind, these are people, just put yourself in their shoes. Imagine you're in your home country, you're being targeted, you're feeling in danger, and you have to figure out a way to, I don't know, get rid of your house, get rid of your things, escape with your family and your children, make your way through several countries all the way to the U.S. border while keeping everybody safe. I mean, the amount of bravery that it takes to go through this journey, to me, is just overwhelmingly impressive. And that's been my experience as I meet these people over and over again. These are the kinds of people that we want here. They're incredible. They're impressive. They are resourceful, and they are brave. And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. But of course, what you ask, you know, why do we keep having this rhetoric? It's what I mentioned in the beginning. I don't really understand it, but I think that human beings are tribal. Yes. And I think that when Republican, conservative politicians are fear-mongering and they're using rhetoric about immigrants as criminals and surging and drugs and they're the ones bringing fentanyl, et cetera, that really gets their base motivated. But what I just really, really hope, I mean, and this is like a mission of my life, is that all of us sort of take a step back and look at this country, this amazing country that we're in, and we get honest with ourselves. I mean, whether or not you're motivated by helping migrants, okay, that may not speak to certain people, but we are an aging nation. Our baby yes. boomers are aging. For the first time next year, we're going to have more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 15 in our nation's history. And we are headed for trouble, big time, in the United States because of our aging population.
So Miss Lincoln Goldfinch, if you'll hang on, we'll mm-hmm. come back to that point after the break because you're just so on point. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. From storms to scorching weather, millions are suffering across the nation. In Phoenix, it has been over 110 degrees for days. This is tough.
I can handle 100, but like the moment it hits 110, I'm like dying a little bit.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is trying to make headway with China during her visit to Beijing and find common ground on a raft of issues, including the climate.
Climate change is on the top of the list of global challenges, and the United States and China must work together to address this existential threat.
The Biden administration is defending a plan to provide Ukraine with controversial cluster bombs. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Ukraine is committed to post-conflict demining efforts to mitigate any potential harm to civilians.
The weapon releases up to hundreds of so-called bomblets that can disperse over a large area. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, my guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She's a Texas immigration attorney. And you know, Miss Lincoln Goldfinch, before we went to break, you were laying out what I think is absolutely 100% on point with why it's important that these immigrants are, and many of these immigrants are accepted to come into this nation. This nation is not going to be able to stand as it has been throughout all of these centuries without the support of immigrants. And, you know, there's zero population growth for Europeans and for white Americans. For everyone that's born that dies, there isn't a new one born. You know, you're listening to Donald Trump offering money for white Americans to have babies, because he knows what the demographers know, that, you know, it's inevitable that the numbers of whites in this nation are eventually going to dwindle to the point that it's going to become a nation of people of color. And so when you know that fact and that truth, then why is it? And I do understand why the people push back. They think that that's going to hasten the fact that they're eventually going to be more minorities in the nation than whites. But that doesn't make any sense from the standpoint, I'm a baby boomer. I know what you just said. 8,000 to 10,000 baby boomers become 65 years old almost every day. And so who's going to, how is a nation going to be able to continue without having the foresight to realize what it is you said?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, we're seeing some nations in Asia a few, you know, years ahead of us with this problem. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this aging population issue, you know, impacts China, for example. But over here in the U.S., we have this switch. We can flip. We happen to have a lot of immigrants who would come here at the drop of a hat. And what we, you're so right, this aging population, it's very problematic. We're just starting to feel the pain of it. It's going to impact Social Security. It's going to impact our ability to care for the elderly. And it's coming. It is coming. It is coming. And we see, you know, right now what we're experiencing is difficulty finding workers in certain industries.
Right.
And so you see states trying to, you know, like Iowa, for example, is, you know, passing child labor laws that, yes, allow, you know, like factories, processing facilities to put, you know, young teens in their factories, and it, these laws would indemnify the companies against, you know, injuries that these kids suffer. I mean, it's just absurd when you think about the fact that all we would need to do is fix our immigration laws, turn up immigration, and we could solve this problem in an instant. And I think you got to something there, Earl, that you know, the reason this hasn't been done is a fear of what that could do to our demographics, which is just, we've seen that just over and over. There's this quote from Benjamin Franklin from the 1770s, where he's talking about the German, this like German settlement, you know, near where he was. And he was like, how can we be suffered to let them, you know, swarm into our population with their, what was the word that he used? It was something to do with the color of their skin. It starts with a C. I'm blanking on the word, but it's just,
no, it's okay.
You know, this is just over and over through the years. We see this same fear, and the deal is, this is just humanity. This is what is happening. And if we want our nation to continue to thrive, we need to be honest with ourselves about the need for immigration and on all levels of skill. We need high-skilled immigrants. We need mid-level skill. We need low-skill immigrants. And the solution to this, of course, is that Congress passes immigration reform that reflects the needs of our economy, which they haven't done, you know, any major immigration reform in over 40 years, and it got even more difficult post 9/11. So the way that immigration policy is passed now is just insane. You know, the presidents pass executive actions, and then they get sued, and then the courts, you know, decide it. That's how immigration policy is.
And you know, Attorney Lincoln Goldfin Finch, it is. Frustrating, because what the American people need is to be educated on what is really taking place, and the outcome of the policies that we're dealing with now, and the impact that that's going to have on their children and their grandchildren. And so those of us who are here right now, especially the baby boomers, we're not going to, in the remainder of our lives, America's going to be able to hold out the baby boomers. But after that, there is certainly uncertainty about what the nation is going to do. So we've got to begin by having discussions and conversations like what you and I are having now, truthful conversations, and not people from the other side who are feeding people a bunch of hogwash in order to stay in political power.
Yeah, I mean, and I've had, you know, some version of this conversation with a lot of conservative people. You know, I speak about immigration a lot, and I get to a point of agreement with them generally on this, you know, that they will agree, yes, we need more immigrants. And then they go down this, you know, sort of like spewing of rhetoric path where they say, but legal, you know, legal immigrants, the ones who do it the right way. And that's when we can sort of start getting into the details of immigration. Asylum is a legal way for people to immigrate, you know, and so someone coming to the border and asking for protection is not breaking the law. And the truth of the matter is the two main ways that people immigrate to the United States are through family or through employment. Family is, you know, if you have an immediate relative, like a brother, spouse, a kid or a parent, to petition for you, or an employer who's willing to petition for you, which is very restrictive, and the slots are super limited, nowhere near the levels that we need. The wait list for many of those categories is like decades, you know, 20 years plus. And our immigration system now looks nothing like it used to, you know, 50, 70 years ago. So I often have people say, well, you know, my grandfather did it this way, or my parents did it this way, and why can't people just do it like that? And it's like, because the system is completely broken. There is nowhere near the levels of visas available to the people that would come here, number one, and the people that we need to come here, number two.
You know, the other part of this is many immigrants are skilled laborers. They are tradespeople, and really great at what they do. The other part of this is, and I'm like you, only mine is understandable. I'm an old guy, and so I can forget at times. But you know what is the name of the children that were born here? Their parents. We haven't been able to get their. What did he call them?
Yeah, you're talking about the Dreamers.
The Dreamers.
DACA program.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for kids who were brought here by the
Yeah, but parents. We still haven't been able to get that worked out.
That's right. That's right. And that exactly. You are exactly right, because if we can't even come together for these kids, I mean, this program has been in place now for 11 years. And these are people, young people who graduated from high school in the United States, you know, fully, they feel very American.
Of course. Right.
They also,
it's the only nation they know.
But like, yeah. And I mean, when you know these young people, they, you know, they go to college, they've become nurses, and, you know, they've bought houses and they have families, and they're amazing. The Dreamers are absolutely amazing, and no one really disputes that. That's the thing. I mean, even the conservatives don't have anything negative to say about the Dreamers, and yet they do nothing to advance legislation on behalf of the Dreamers, because they can't do anything pro-immigration without a ton of blowback from their base, which goes back to this fear of immigrants, which goes back to the demography that you were talking about. I mean, I think that's the root, the heart of all of this is people's tribalism and their fear of difference, of xenophobia. And to get to that, to start to move that, that's what I don't know the answer is. I don't know the answer to how we start to move that needle.
Let's do this. Let's go to Mark from Sherwood. Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hi, Earl. I have a comment. To your point about tradespeople, immigrant tradespeople. I started a business about 10 years ago doing external home maintenance and landscaping. And in that time, I have noticed that the vast majority of people out there working in the trades, whether it's painters, roofers, landscapers, tree companies, on and on, are predominantly Mexican and Central Americans. And they are the hardest workers, and I'm an older guy. They're the hardest workers I've seen. I am not, I'm always impressed. People have no idea what it's like to stand on a roof in in the heat of summer. I've seen amazing things, and white people don't even want these jobs anymore. And it's really sad, but we have to welcome them, and we need them.
You know, Mark, I often say, if you're an American, you don't want to work next to an immigrant who's come here from those areas that we're talking about, because they look, man, they don't take breaks for the most part, long breaks. I've seen roofers where they'll do two or three roofs in a day, as opposed to American roofers who will do one for the entire day. And I think part of this too, Mark, is that there are people who think that they are taking the jobs that white men used to do. And that's true. The landscaping jobs, the roofing, what do you call it when you put the things up in the rooms and your houses,
Though
all of those things, they've come in and they are highly skilled, and you know what else? They are cheaper.
If people doubt this, all
drywall is what I was thinking about, but go ahead.
Drywall, yeah. All they have to do is just drive around for an afternoon. It's just amazing. And then, you know, the Journal Sentinel recently did an article on the dairy farmers, how that's all immigrant labor. I don't know how people can fight this. It's so apparent. So that's all I wanted to say.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. You're right on point. Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. Wow. You know, you got a lot of stuff going on. We'll be right back.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, and she's a Texas immigration attorney. You know, attorney Goldfinch, if people really understood, there's this belief that these people are coming here with their hands out, and they want to, and they want welfare, and they want to, and we've got to pay for them to get medical insurance and all of that, and all of that's going to be free, and we Americans don't get any of those things. And this is what they hear. This is what the people believe. And I don't think any of those people are coming here because they want a free handout.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a common misunderstanding. First of all, immigrants don't qualify for public benefits like, you know, welfare and Section 8 housing until they actually have a green card or citizenship. So they've got to be permanent, you know, have permanent status in the U.S. before they even could get anything like that. And again, I'll go back to the data and the statistics. All of the economic studies show that immigrants are a net economic benefit. I should say most of the studies show that. So immigrants start companies, they create more jobs, actually. That one is very clear, hands down. Immigrants create more jobs in the U.S. versus taking jobs. And then in terms of the sort of the economic impact of immigrants, they pay a lot of taxes, actually.
Yes.
They pay, you know,
yes,
property taxes, even if they're renting. They pay sales taxes. Many of them pay into Social Security, even if they don't, you know, have a Social Security number themselves. I mean, so immigrants are not, this is a total misconception, hands down. Immigrants are not taking and coming for a handout. They are adding to our economy, and we need them. And that is just clear.
Let's do this. Tom from L.A. Tom, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, Earl, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Number two, I live in California, and what I see, and I see it now more and more in Wisconsin, is that, you know, first they want to use the slave labor. They want to use the low price, but then when in our case, a lot of Latinos want to start running their own business, want to start, you know, moving up, then all of a sudden the same people that were so upset or were so happy with them coming in for the slave labor, I get upset because now all of a sudden they're competing, and then they say, "Oh, they need to be sent back." It's hilarious to me in terms of the double standard that goes on there. And also, I want to say that when it comes to the immigration policies, what ends up usually happening is a lot of these people came, and this is something that's missing, but a lot of these people came from dictatorships, and they came from very authoritarian governments. So when you have Republicans that are telling these people right off the bat when they get here that the Democrats are the ones that are taking over our government, tyrannical government, and all of this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, there are a lot of immigrants that will start believing that. And they start believing that, and they start actually voting the opposite way because of the fact that they think that it's like the country that they came from. And I think that's a missing spot that's there. And we do not have an illegal immigration problem in this country. We have an illegal employment problem in this country. That is the bottom line. If you don't want immigrants here, then you know what? Then start going after the people that are hiring.
Yes.
Rather than anything else.
Hey, Tom, sorry, man, I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Attorney Lincoln Goldfinch, how right was he?
Yeah, I mean, he was certainly right on in this idea of illegal employment. And I say this all the time. We have this fallacy going here in the U.S. where we have all these jobs. We have all of this opportunity for immigrants, and we need them. And it's almost like this wink, wink, you know, come on over, but the laws don't support it. And so people want and need immigrants. There are jobs for them. And then in the same breath will, you know, say anti-immigrant stuff. So once again, let's get back to the truth. Let's talk honestly with each other. This nation needs more immigrants, and we need to pass laws that will expand the immigration population in the United States, and that benefits everybody.
All right, Dave from Mequon, quickly.
Good morning. I was just in Phoenix last week. I was out there for spring training.
Okay, quickly.
And I can tell you firsthand that what I saw in Arizona was unbelievable, the amount of homeless people. It's out of control. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I disagree with your guess from the standpoint that California has been encouraging, you know, they allow people to take positions now.
So you disagree with her from what perspective, Dave? You disagree with her on what?
The fact that undermines the people in the U.S. that are looking for jobs. You have high black unemployment. So they're competing against people that are illegal. Yes, they are.
I know, but Dave.
And the fact is, they are overwhelming the hospitals.
So Dave, we've been on this discussion for an hour. We're up against the break. I wish you would have called earlier. I'm going to give my guest the last minute to respond to you, and we're going to bring her back. So 844-967-2789. You got the last word, attorney.
Awesome. Right now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I hear you. There are all sorts of other problems. Homeless populations agree. There are Americans who need help and who need work. But it is a fallacy to connect immigration to those problems. We also need immigrant labor. We've done this before. When we completed the railroads in the 1800s or the late 1700s, we brought over Chinese immigrant labor to complete the railroads. And then right after that, immediately turned around and said, Chinese laborers are taking all the jobs. It wasn't true then. It's not true now. These are things that we are being told, and we're seeing other problems that need fixing. That does not mean that we don't also need immigrants.
So, Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, thank you. And I will be bringing you back again and again and again because you're just what's needed. I'll be in touch after the show. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Next up, Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. We'll be right back.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires. Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year...